There we go. And I do have an incredible lineup of guests. I've got Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld will be with me. She's the author of The Soros Agenda at the bottom of hour number three. Mark Mix is with me. He is the president of National Right to Work. He's also the president of the committee and foundation. Well, the committee and the foundation. And lots going on with regards to right to work stuff. Reverend Dean Nelson of Human Coalition will be with us, and we'll be talking about the issues around culture, and then also the Roe v. Wade, the anniversary of that being overturned. So that should be interesting. And then Dr. David Wormser is with us. The Biden administration has reinstituted its support of BDS. Did you know about that, Rick?
Yes.
Yeah. BDS is the boycott Israel, and you know, pretty much anti-Semitism, but it's boycott Israel.
Yeah, their last two picks to the stupid Holocaust Museum board are both anti-Semites.
Yeah. So
anti-Israel Jews. Let's put it that way. Anti-Israel Jews.
So the Biden administration is back in support of BDS, which is something that President Trump had abolished and gotten rid of and rolled back. But that was a major Obama policy.
I know. You know what? And just from a vote perspective, it didn't hurt him at all in terms of votes for the Jewish community.
Well, and no. So, yeah. Yeah. Which is...
They're the most self-loathing community in the history of the earth.
Well, you've got a liberal Jewish community that pretends to be, you know, they strut around in their costumes and they want you to think that they're being Orthodox, but they're not, because they support abortion, they support sodomy. They stand with every immoral thing. So, yeah.
Okay.
And then apparently there's also Ukraine accused Israel of being pro-Russian. That's another thing that's a mess. The Wagner thing, and there's a lot of speculation. I'll see about getting somebody on at some point to talk more in depth about that. But that whole situation, and you know, Putin is apparently in a bit of a political battle over there.
Well, that I have to tell you, I've never, maybe I'm naive, but I've never seen a circumstance where there's a coup and you're not allowed to call off coups. When you have a coup, it doesn't get called off. And that's... But, you know, you march 500 miles towards Moscow, they say, never mind. I mean, that's a little odd. Something's going on there that's a little odd.
Well, and so there's a gal, I don't know this person, but she has, her name is Valina Chekarova. She's a geopolitical strategist and, I don't know, something. She's got 4.1 million views. Here's her insight. This is not a coup by Prigozhin. This is an inner war between the St. Petersburg gang of Putin and the Moscow gang of Gerasimov and Shoigu. This is the beginning of Putin's election campaign to become reelected in March 2024. His lapdog Prigozhin is masquerading a coup to blame on Gerasimov and Shoigu for losing the war against Ukraine. Prigozhin can always be scapegoated if he fails, like this has happened in the past.
Well, that's interesting. That's a different take than the one that I've heard. When they called it off, what I came to mind was when Erdogan in Turkey when there was a coup against Erdogan in Turkey. And it turned out it wasn't a coup. It was Erdogan basically running an operation to see who kind of he beat the bushes, see who would flop out and support the coup. And then he nabbed them.
Yep.
And it feels a lot more like that. And the reason it feels a little more like that is because the Wagner forces are the best fighting units that Russia has. And right now, Ukraine is supposed to be in a major offensive and to retake, to basically cut the link between Russia and Crimea and then move south and retake Crimea. That's what I've been told is their plan. And so you've got this major offensive going on with the Ukrainians, and the best fighting forces are suddenly able to leave the field, first of all. They're able to march off without anybody saying, you know, where are you going? And they're able to get halfway to Moscow, which is a long way. It's 600 miles from where they were to Moscow. And there's some minor wreckage along the way, but not much. The Russian Air Force doesn't appear to be implemented against them. They don't have an air force. They've got ground troops, so they can be destroyed by an air force like in 15 minutes. Russia has satellites. They could basically turn the satellites on and watch them every step of the way, since they don't control the air. They obviously wouldn't have any satellite comms, which are essential for ground forces today. So it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And a lot of people were getting excited about it, but it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And as a result, I like everything out of that region. I take it with a grain of salt.
Well, here's another assessment. This is a guy named Brian Krasenstein. I'm not sure he's a journalist. Tackling conspiracy theories. I don't know. He's got 751 followers. I don't know if that means anything either. But anyway, here's his question. Imagine if the January 6th insurrectionists were armed and more powerful. Imagine if they had a legitimate chance of violently seizing power and overturning the U.S. election. Imagine if on January 20th, Biden's top military commanders were seen laughing with the insurrectionists. Now imagine if Biden cut a deal with the insurrectionists, allowing them to leave the country and making sure they were safe in order to maintain his own power. Would you view his leadership as strong or weak? Exactly. No matter how you try to spin this, Putin's strength has diminished greatly. I mean, the bottom line is, and everybody's saying this, Prigozhin got everything he wanted.
Well, did he? Guess where he gets to live? He gets to live in Belarus until he doesn't get to live anymore.
Well, maybe. Okay? Maybe.
You think about it. I don't know what he demanded was they didn't. According to accounts that I read, maybe this has changed, but there wasn't a change in the defense ministry. There was a statement that there was going to be a change in the defense ministry, but other reports I read said there was none and that he got nothing. Essentially, what he got was he got free passage for his men and, you know, that they wouldn't get wiped out and treated as traitors. And he got to go to Belarus. So it still remains to be seen what the fallout from it is. But nothing about it felt right. It had a wag the dog kind of feel to me rather than a legitimate, because if you're going to do something like that, you don't march troops 500 miles. It doesn't make any sense that that's what you're going to do. And so maybe I'm wrong, but it wouldn't be the first time, but it feels more like a game being played by a guy who used to be a spy master in manipulation than it feels like something that was actually real. At least to me, I think it's one of the qualifiers as being one of the weird stories of the weekend, along with the weird story that, with the sub implosion, we knew within 6 hours that the sub had imploded and nobody was alive. There's a 99.9% chance based on underwater sonar that we were listening to. So we had a pretty good idea that and exactly where it blew up. And then we spent 5 days talking about it and engaging in major search and rescue at the same time that all the Hunter Biden stuff was coming out. Now, I don't know. Call me funny, but it's seems like the timeline is pretty suspicious. And so that thing goes away. And the next thing you know, we've got, supposedly troops marching on the Kremlin, which, once again, doesn't make sense. And I've become very skeptical of these events that pop up and we get fed that are, supposedly happening. And then I don't know how much is manipulated and how much isn't anymore. So I rely on a few people who know what's going on in different areas to tell me what they think. But I think the Russian thing, it feels like there's something really amiss about it. Something wrong.
Yeah. Well, here's another, this is a post by, open source intelligence monitor focused on Europe and conflicts of the world. And it's RT endorsed, so take it for that. But it's Prigozhin speaking and stating that Wagner has occupied all the military installations across the city, including the airfield, to ensure Russian Air Force is attacking the Ukrainians and not his forces, but the military operations will continue unhindered. No officers have been fired or planning to be fired. He just wishes that Defense Minister Shoigu and Chief of General Staff Gerasimov will meet with him at the headquarters, which I think is what ultimately ended up happening, and that's the reference to the leaders basically hanging out with him and laughing.
Well, what's the city that supposedly this all happened in?
It's in the city of Rostov-on-Don.
Okay, so the initial claim was that the Wagner, whatever they're called, mm-hmm. Forces were that this was precipitated by Russian Air Force bombing their positions. And they're sitting there going, wait a second.
Right.
We're not supposed to be bombing our positions.
Right.
And the theory was put out there that the Russian Air Force was bombing their positions because there was a fear that they were becoming too powerful and that they needed to be knocked down a couple of notches. Seems rather odd that a Russian Air Force that doesn't seem to be able to get in the air against the Ukrainian ground forces. To any great extent, with the exception of the helicopters, that the Air Force is, in fact, now bombing their own, people are on their side. But it's a, the whole thing's a mess. And, it's a little hard to believe that a guy is threatening a coup and he's getting together a defense minister and laughing it up. That seems like a rather... I don't know. It seemed like it'd be a little more tense,
if the staging is to create the idea that those two individuals, Gerasimov and Shoigu, whatever the name is, but to create the idea that they were a part of this uprising as a staging for, again, trying to keep knowing what I know about Russia and their history and the background and communism and all of that from just the training that I had as a Russian linguist, the coup pieces of all of this, this is what they do. I mean, they don't, elections are a farce. They don't have elections. They have elections so that they can make it look like whatever to the world, but the reality is that it's all done in coups and backroom agreements and so off, and so that doesn't surprise me. And so, and the fact that
do you think this is like the Khrushchev situation where just one day it was time for him to go and he just kind of gets retired? Is that, do you think it's akin to that?
I think that there is the possibility that that is what is being discussed, and that came out. What? How long has this war been going on now?
Longer than I wanted it.
Eight months.
I don't know.
Like that. I don't know, but I'd have to go back. Right, I don't have it right in front of me, folks. But you know, within 90 days of this thing starting, it became very apparent the Russian people were not in support of it. It became apparent he was having to shut down communications. He was locking people up. I had reports from within Russia that they were having protests out on the street, and they were literally having to shut it down, and they were invoking essentially Soviet Union practices to silence the civilian population, and anybody that even so much as uttered under their breath even a question about the war was taken to jail.
Right.
And then it became the issue of, and that was why, I mean, Putin went running to China because he needed money.
Right.
He was running out of money, but he was already running out of money before he started this war. And the original school of thought is that Putin and Xi had come together. They had met. They met in 2020, in the summer of 2020, when all the uprisings were happening. Putin, Xi, and Rossi met near Iran and had a meeting and a powwow to talk about how they were going to use the uprisings in America to make sure that Trump didn't get a second term.
Okay, that's reasonable. I think so.
And out of that agreement also became some really strong understandings between Xi and Putin as to how they might help each other, realizing that essentially what they were going to do is divide as much of the different hemispheres of the world for their empires, because they had empirical ideas. Putin has had an empirical idea since the mid-90s that's been vocalized by him. So we shouldn't be surprised by what he's doing. And I talked with Tony Schaefer on Friday, and I agree with most of his assessment, and I know that he has his finger on a lot of the pulse of what's going on. The only thing with him that I don't agree with, and we didn't get a chance to really get further into it because it was at the very end of our interview, and he said, yeah, let's have this conversation, was the issue of the aspirations of Putin. He thinks that Putin will be satisfied with taking Ukraine, period, and be done. I don't think Putin will be satisfied with it. Now he admitted, he said, yeah, Putin does have an eye towards reestablishing the entire Soviet Union as it was. Well, that would mean Poland. That would mean Latvia and so on.
Of course it does. The challenge Putin has is relatively simple. He anticipated a one-month rollover, and he's gotten massive degradation of his own forces. He's dependent upon the Wagner group to do his fighting for him in the toughest situations. He's discovered that his military is not as adept as he assumed it would be. And certainly not as formidable, and that they're, and quite honestly, that their tanks and other things are extremely vulnerable to generations old weaponry. And it's a, and I don't think he anticipated any of that stuff. And so while initially his goal may have been much broader, I thought clearly that, the Estonia, Latvia, and other Baltic state, that the Baltic states would be at risk. I thought that was real. I thought that they, I'm surprised they still exist, Lithuania. But, you know, Putin's designs are interesting. What he can actually accomplish is what's relevant, and he can't accomplish much right now. I mean, he's dependent upon an army that may or may not be loyal to him. And it's a, that's a dangerous place to be as a, as a strong man. So, but I agree. And to, I think there's no doubt he had broader plans. He had hopes, broader hopes. There's just,
okay,
there's
so, a lot of games of yeah. play,
right.
I didn't realize how long. So actually this war is 1 year and 4 months old.
It's the way it felt to me, but yeah, I didn't want to
I just couldn't remember. It's 16 months old is how old this war is. And again, I mean, 6 months in, I think, roughly, thereabouts, there were rumblings. Well, the Wagner group kind of started to take power or take control or become a player. Let me look and see if I can look that up as to when Wagner group got involved. Ukraine war. Let me see if it says. It's just giving me all the updates. Ukraine, Russia moves take direct control of Wagner Group. Okay. Brutal Russian unit. Yeah, it's not. So it was probably, maybe it was more like about nine months in when the Wagner Group really started to step in. Oh, no. Here we go. Cool. Thank you. So it was 6 months. I was right. My initial thought was right. Wagner Group, a private mercenary firm widely believed to be linked to Russia's defense ministry. And they started doing recruiting in August of 2022, 6 months after the beginning of the offensive. And then within about 4 or 5 months after that, is when you started hearing about dissension between the Wagner leadership and Putin. Now, was it all set up? I don't know. But I do know that you know, the reports that were coming out were that as the Wagner group, because the Wagner group came into this war, they're pretty wicked, Rick. I mean, the things that they were doing and what they were engaged in, because, and they are a communist Russian European guerrilla force. So they were using very brutal guerrilla tactics, similar to what we've seen in other wars when the guerrilla style fighters come in.
I got it. You know, the fact of the matter is, the people who had, you know, basically mustered out of the Russian military, who had bought elsewhere, Wagner came in and they had the money to hire them because Russia doesn't pay their military very much. Mm-hmm. They had the money to hire the best, the most brutal, and the most and bring them back into the game. And the obvious problem you'd have between the mercenaries and the regular military is who's in charge. You're going to have command and control issues. You're going to say, you know, they're going to say, you don't get to put us, you know, you don't get to put us where you want us. Have your troops go off and become cannon fodder. We'll go in and fix it.
Right.
And so, yeah. But, you know, Greg, what kind of gave me a little bit of pause about the whole thing with the Wagner coup is, supposing it's marching with 20,000 men. Dang, it's marching with 20,000 men. against Moscow. Nobody's ever, I mean, Hitler had, you know, it's a whole lot of armies. There were a lot more better equipped and a lot better armies than the Wagner group. Found that the 500-mile stretch between Ukraine, between Kiev and Moscow is a killing field that wasn't sustainable in terms of a military takeover. And the problem is when you get there, there's nowhere to go. Fighting Russia is like fighting Jell-O in that regard. You know, they just move out, they let you take the territory, and then they engulf you and they destroy you. And 20,000 Pastor Gray, is not big enough. Now, they may have thought they were going to have the regular military joining them. Maybe there were reports of National Guard units that were joining them, and you know, and which then gave me the idea that maybe this was a test. You know, I thought back to Erdogan, and was this a Putin test of loyalty amongst his own military? As there is a lot of dissent in the military about the Ukraine war, and so was this a Putin test of loyalty? At which point he was identifying generals who were not loyal. And isolate, so he can isolate them and knock them out. The fact is, it's somewhat unprecedented to declare a coup and then not follow through.
No, there's a lot of questions about it, Rick. There's no doubt relative to whether you could, you know, I mean, Patton felt that they were primed to be able to move through Germany and invade into Russia. I don't know what his force counts were necessarily, but I do know from, again, the defectors and that I spent 2 years around, right, and so on, and talking with them about really diving into their mindset and history. The issue is whether or not, and this has been Putin's problem, it's the will of the soldiers to bring the fight. And whether they will. And yes, there are certain members of the force that we're going to resist, but you know, the vast majority of the Russian forces, even going into Ukraine, they had no interest in fighting that fight. As you said, they weren't paid well to fight the fight. There was just no motivation for that. And so, yes, it could be a tough 500 miles, but it's only as tough as Putin's army would have been willing to put up a fight to stop it. And I don't think the will of those forces to engage is just, it's not, I don't think it's there.
That would be true. You could be in a 1919 situation or 1917 situation where the Russian armies collapse. There's no support for the Tsar. And relatively few people are able to take over the government, and it's Lenin coming to power with no military, just a bunch of radicals come in, and there's nobody to stop them because it's a void.
According to the
Putin government's a void.
According to my pastor friend, and his sources, they had Russian, not all, but they had some Russian soldiers actually that they were providing relief aid to. They were providing, I mean, these guys were starving to death. And no, they were coming to the, they were coming with their hands out saying, look, we're not here to do, I mean, early days, yes, but as it progressed, many that were like, nah, we're not really here to do you any harm, but we are looking, you know, can you feed us? We're starving to death. There's nothing.
Yeah, that's a. Yeah, I get it. I heard the same reports, and you know, we saw a lot of video of similar things.
I don't know. Yeah. It's yeah.
And the fact is, that's the thing. We don't know. There are things in life. What you do is you try to take facts that you do know.
Yep.
And try to
discern.
Try to discern what's true, and sometimes it's hard to agree on what facts you know. What the outcome is, we know that the Wagner troops are supposedly returning to Ukraine. We know that the guy who's the head of the Wagner troops, the guy with the P, starts name with P, is in Belarus, and Putin's in power. Now, is Putin dramatically weakened by this? Maybe he is. Maybe he had to do a big deal to keep in power with the Wagner group. I don't know. But the people who I know in the national defense world don't know either. They're speculating everything from Putin is significantly weakened to this was a ploy. And I don't know where it is on the spectrum. I don't know how legitimate it was from the beginning. What I do know is in a world where weird events occur seemingly on a daily basis that you just shake your head and you think we're on the brink of, at the time on Saturday, the speculation was that the Biden administration put $6 billion into Wagner to do this. And to instigate this coup. That was the speculation I was reading. I mean, and I don't know if that's true or not. What we know is we have a domestic government that we have limited ability to depend on anything they say being true. We know the Russians don't say anything that's true. And I suspect the Ukrainians, last time they told the truth was probably in the 1940s. So all in all, we have a bunch of unreliable characters getting us news of that we're trying to discern what actually is happening.
I would say on a national scale, I'm not looking at those sources. I'm really not. I'm not concerned with those sources. I'm looking at who's closest to the ground, who's closest to the situation, and what are they getting? Let me just throw this out there too. If Putin isn't in trouble, or if Putin is trying to, solidify his power, and remember, as we said at the onset of this conversation, his ultimate goal is the restoration of the Soviet Union. Right. He's going to have to go after Poland through more than just the Ukraine. He's going to also need to create a pathway through Belarus. And he needs Belarus as a staging ground if he's going to go after Latvia and I forget the other little country that's over there.
Belarus was a staging ground for his attack on Kiev. They brought forces.
I know. All right. So here's my point.
Isn't the head of Belarus like nothing more than a puppet?
Just like the Ukrainian head was at one point. Let me just say then. Who better to prepare? Number one, you get him, you get that chess piece off of the stage, so to speak, so nobody's looking at him anymore.
Right.
Okay. But you put him strategically in a place that you need a military force built.
Well, that would then go with the argument that this is a stronger Putin.
Maybe. Well, but here's the thing. There's also been discussion that the fact that Putin has not been successful in Ukraine, there are others besides Putin that want a restoration of the former Soviet Union. There's a very strong element, and it wouldn't surprise me if that element consisted in part of the military leaders that are mentioned in these conversations.
And that's the point that I was coming to on Saturday, and I couldn't get anybody to answer me a simple question. That is, well, who replaces Putin? And if is that person going to be any different from a standpoint of aggressiveness and attempting to wage war? Or are they, you know, is this really a coup by people who are just satisfied and don't think Putin's been aggressive enough?
Right.
And typically the latter are the ones who engage in coups. Peaceniks don't engage in coups. They're not in a position to do so.
Yep.
So it's a, so for all the people who are jumping up and down and say this may be, you know, the end of Putin, that may be true, but be careful for what you wish for, because it could be, you can get a lot. There's a lot of names that you can't pronounce over there that are significantly that, more aggressive.
That could be a whole lot worse. Yeah. Yeah. No, so, I agree. Anyway, I agree.
That's a, I'm going to have to step out.
I understand.
I'm in a 100 degrees and I'm dying here.
Okay, bud. So. All right. Well, I appreciate you being with me today. You'll be back on Wednesday. I'm not sure exactly what our topic will be. Probably we'll be talking more about the whole Biden situation and what's going on with regards to that, because I think that's interesting. And there's a lot of maneuvering right now going on both in the House and in the Senate, and a lot of conversation about, you know, those particular spheres of influence.
48 hours in the modern news cycle is so much time that we could I hesitate to guess what we'll be talking about, but it is a I'm confident that there will be at least four more things, revelations about the Biden corruption that we can't even imagine right now. So anyway, I will talk to you on Wednesday.
All right, very good. I'll talk to you then. Bye. All right, folks, going to take a break. Be back after this, probably headed into the top of the next hour. And my guest to open up that hour will be Dr. David Wormser. I'll be back right after, well, some break. And some instruction on how to go about getting yourself healthy. I'm hearing some incredible feedback from people that have been using the CGR wellness products. So you might want to check those out. All right, I'll be right back.
So up next, we have CleanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. CleanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your Clean Slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your Clean Slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. And it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So we're going to type in an email address. Be good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now, there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now we go over here. And we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in an address. And the city. And we'll choose our state. And we don't need a phone number. And it wants us to make sure that we're not a robot, so we'll do that. Wow. and we'll create the account. And now the account's been created. Now, there is a share code. I don't remember what it is right now, but it doesn't really matter. Now you'd go over here and type in Vibe. It's your first product you're looking for. And there is the fruit and veggies, superfood liquid multivitamin. Click on that. And you're going to order. I recommend that you order two, and I'll tell you why. If you order two of them and add those to the cart, now here comes the cart. Now, you're going to get your second bottle for half off when you type in Chosen Gen Radio. Chosen Gen Radio and click apply. And that's going to give you $20 off. Plus, you're going to unlock free shipping. So now when you get your order, you'll get no shipping charge, 2 months worth for the price of a month and a half. And then you can go back over and you can securely check out, put in your billing information and so on, and you're off to the races. So that's how you do it. Nice and easy. Again, cgrwellness.com. When that little window pops up, just X out of it. You don't need that because you're going to get a $20 discount. Once you completed the form and created the account, go to the top, click in Vibe, and then go. Now, I use Vibe, Resvante, Ultra Shot, the EPA fish oil, the Flex, and I also use, this is your apple cider vinegar, and this is your ashwagandha. I use those as well. To run through this really quick with you. Again, omega-3. And then these products up here. Your Vibe. Your Resvante. The Ultra Shot. And the Flex. Those are the ones that I personally use every single day. I can recommend each and every one of those to you and just assure you that they do a great job. They've made a gigantic difference in my health. All right. God bless you. God bless your health. And thank you for supporting our Indian ministry through this as well.